Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here, the 3 o'clock hour. We're going to take a look at Cowboys Twitter. Top tweets going viral about America's team. Mike Fisher's coming up here at 3:20. He will have the very latest from a busy day with the Cowboys getting set to host the Rams. We'll start with David Moore, Morning News. Dak is dealing with a sprained left wrist and an injured right index finger. He's wearing tape on the finger and will do so in the game. Does it impact his throws? No, it's been good, said Dak. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate the concern there.
Thank you for the question.
So, yeah, I'm not quite sure what to make of that. That's quite a bit. Index finger seems pretty important for throwing stuff, Mike.
I would say so, and I would say I was just thinking about this just because I think the Cowboys are going to beat the Eagles in a couple weeks and win the division and get in the playoffs. But if you want the best draft pick and the best future, then maybe Dak's finger gets nicked up in this Rams game, and then you have to go Cooper Rush to finish out the season, or for Cooper Rush to play against the Eagles. And then that would bring up another thing that the Cowboys don't believe in, and they don't believe in backup quarterbacks.
No.
So that would be just interesting if you did get to the Eagles game. And here it is. And, you know, you had Kyle Orton to push you at one point that you needed. And then you'd get to a game where, like, if you win this game, you make the playoffs. And for Jerry Jones, that would be a lot of money. You'd get a home game for the playoffs. But then you wouldn't have a quarterback for that one game to win.
Well, I guess we can hope for the best. However, it has to happen. You know, I guess if Dak would have to miss a game or be compromised, a finger would be, you know, a pretty good way to do it.
Do you think it will? I'm going to have a tough time seeing, and maybe the Cowboys will break out and have an awesome offensive game.
No, they're going to lose to the Rams, yeah.
Yeah, but I just have this feeling that it's going to be a lot of punting.
Oh, yeah, a lot of punting coming up. A lot of misdirections and Rams running backs having their way.
It's not good because Dak has not had three below average games in a row, one of them being in weather. And I don't care what the stats say in the end. If you while you were watching the game, did you think, boy, Dak's crushing it in this game? Glad we have 7 points and we're in the
against
fourth
New
quarter.
England? No.
No, I knew, think but Dak's I mean, all the it. Games. I mean, you got in Thanksgiving and you got to the fourth quarter. You're like, Dak has been bad this game. You're in Chicago. You're like, Dak has been bad this game. And in the end, his stats were okay.
Yeah, I really can't say much about it. And, you know, I was a big Dak believer all offseason and for the first 8 or 10 games.
Yeah, but you're a big Dak guy.
I am, dude. But the longer
big Dak energy.
The longer and longer that it went on, I was like, holy cow, this is lengthy.
Okay. All right. It's the return of that one.
But then the sample size, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The sample size got involved. And
you know, sample size has gotten much girthier.
At some point, you just got to look at how the season has gone on and say, man, you know, I guess Mike was right when he was saying they're just beating up on bad teams and lighting up the scoreboard and the stat sheet when they're down 3 scores.
I'd like to whisper this. I still believe in this offense. Back to you.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I don't.
You know what? I got to be quiet. Tomorrow we're betting. I can feel Jeff. Jeff's starting to get the vibe.
No, Jeff is
that
not
is
getting
step
the vibe.
One, isn't it?
He's I, not getting the vibe.
You know the vibes.
I'm not getting
you
the vibe.
You know the vibes.
I believe
Jeff's
in this
right.
offense.
You know what, Jeff? You are right. They're probably going to put up 37.
I mean, and they're getting points.
Yeah, you're probably right, Jeff.
I believe in this offense. That's all I'm saying. It's a standalone comment that has nothing to do with the outcome of the game.
I believe more in this Rams defense. You know, I guess for the season, they're outside the top 10 still in total defense, but over the last 5 games,
they've been awesome.
It's just been ridiculous. Okay, speaking of that Rams defense, we go to the Twitter account of Babe Laufenberg. He joins us at Fridays at 5:20 here on your home of the Cowboys. And Babe Aroni tweeted earlier, I don't mean to jinx this thing or cause bodily harm to a Cowboys O lineman.
Oh, dear. It's the Aaron Donald thing, isn't it?
In 3 career games, Aaron Donald has yet to record a sack versus the Cowboys. Is that going to keep up? We're going to make it 4?
Ooh, side bet?
Sure.
Yeah, I bet Aaron Donald gets a sack.
What kind of odds you give me?
I was going to ask what kind of odds you give me because he's never done it. So, obviously, yeah. It's a long shot. For him to get a sack.
He is averaging
a sack. We're playing
a
dude that
a
has, he looks, as soon as the ball snapped, it looks like he just drank a bottle of Balcones.
And we don't advise drinking a whole bottle
right.
in one sitting. Have a glass. you know.
Balance is really tough for our backup guard.
Suofilo has issues. It's accurate.
Yeah.
So I think Donald will have a sack. Yep.
I think that'll happen too. Okay. Bobby Belt tweeted something Dan Mullen said. We talked about it last night right after he'd said it, but we just had the quotes. Here is the audio of former coach at Mississippi State when Dak was there. Now he's at Florida, and he was asked if he's interested in the NFL. Here was Dan Mullen.
You know what? I've never been in the NFL, so it's not even something I've even thought or considered. You know, I've never even been an assistant coach at the NFL. So, you know, in life, if it does, if someone ever calls me, then I would probably consider it then. But I it's not even something I've considered at this point.
Okay, first of all, that's complete BS, okay, that you've never considered it. Man, I've been a coach my entire life, and I've never even imagined what it might be like to get to the top. You know, it'd probably be like 3 or 4 times as much money and like 10 times as much TV coverage as I'm getting down here with the Gators. But, yeah, just never considered it, you know.
Yeah, but he's probably considered it. Maybe he's already talked to people about it. I don't know that, but I would imagine that's a guy that's at least you're interested in. If you're the Cowboys, you're interested in talking to him, right?
Absolutely.
Look at what happened to – I know that he doesn't have the big name of Urban Meyer or Nick Saban, but if you look at what happened when Dan Mullen was at Mississippi State, when he was – and, of course, Dak was a big part of it. And then look at what happened to that program when he left Mississippi State. And then look at what Florida did this year without their starting quarterback and still having a pretty darn good season. Dan Mullen, it appears he can coach.
Yes.
And he has a relationship with your quarterback. Your quarterback will vouch for him. I think he's a legitimate candidate.
At the very least, he can coach his way out of a paper bag. I can say that with authority.
Yes, he did that this year.
It did make me wonder when he said, if anybody ever calls me. The way he worded that, it makes me think that he's been hoping that somebody will call him.
Or maybe he Skyped with Jerry.
Okay.
But that doesn't count as a call.
Yeah.
Just like Jerry hasn't met with Urban Meyer.
Hey, anything's possible. It's a very sensitive time, right? The team, you don't want to be talking about trying to hire a new guy while you already have a guy. And if you're a candidate, you don't want to, like, shoot everything down publicly. You got to let them know you're somewhat interested, but you have an employer.
That's interesting by Dan Mullen, right?
Yeah.
Where, I mean, he couched it with, well, I don't even, never even thought about it, but he did acknowledge while he's coaching at Florida, well, yeah, if the league called, I guess, you know, I'd talk to him.
Yeah, that's got to make you a little bit nervous.
Normally
there,
you say, I'm a Florida Gator, and that's all I care about. Chomp, chomp.
Is Dan Mullen a good coach chomp, is one chomp. Of the top questions.
Is that what they say? Chomp, chomp?
Yeah, that's their motto there. Chomp, chomp.
Chomp him.
he's chomped his way through a lot of good quarterback seasons, I'll tell you that much. Tebow, Alex Smith, Brian Johnson, Chris Leak, and, of course, Dak Prescott. Those are 5 pretty big names over the course of history through college football here in the last decade and a half or so, 2 decades.
I guess you can't get Urban Meyer, you take the disciple.
Yeah, so he's been around a lot of very, very successful offenses, programs that have been ranked at the top of college football, won championships. He's been there, and he's done that. So I think if he got the job, it would be sort of a, okay, let's see how this thing goes. And the fact that you have a good relationship with Dak Prescott has to count for something. Okay, up next on Cowboys Twitter, maybe instead of Dak's college coach, they'll be looking at Zeke's college coach. Did you see Zeke's mom retweeted the Troy Aikman rant from his playing days? Everybody's familiar with that clip by now. It's been circulating heavily across Cowboys Twitter with the audio of him.
He's informing the players that they're not playing well enough, and he's informing other people that he shouldn't have to do this all the time and the coach should be doing this.
Yeah, the coach is running around patting everybody on the ass. He's got to be the bad guy. He shouldn't have to do that. He's the quarterback. Now, here's the thing. When a parent tweets something, when a family member tweets something, you know, that is interpreted as, oh, okay, what's this? Is this a shot at Garrett? Zeke's mom tweeting that clip, what sort of narrative would you assign to that if you were speculating?
I would say none to very little, because I know that Zeke's mom is on Twitter and she's having a good time on Twitter. She enjoys herself on Twitter, and she's a good follow. She's not out there fighting for her baby or like it's not.
She's not trying to throw shade at anybody,
right?
She's laughing at entertaining stuff.
Yeah, she's a '90s Cowboy fan.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, it could be that she's enjoying herself. I don't know. I don't read anything into it.
But beyond that, Jay Jeezy's always had Zeke's back. I mean, he's a big reason the team drafted him. That would be kind of weird, but it would be interesting if something was afoot there. And how about an around the NFL tweet? Mitchell Trubisky sees an awakened Bears offense in rematch with Packers. We're kind of in a rhythm now. Were a different team. And yeah, I think
as long as the other team shows us exactly what they're running before the snap, I feel really confident.
You know who looked great on offense, even though Jerry Jones didn't see it? The Buffalo Bills. What'd they do after they played the Cowboys? They went back to being an average to maybe a hair below average offense. I don't expect the Bears to be good at offense unless they play the Cowboys or another terrible team.
Yeah. Cowboys opponents throughout the year are now having to adjust what they look at as the Cowboys' victory, because that's not a quality win, right?
No.
And it's been a trend throughout the year that, remember when the Jets beat the Cowboys and they were saying Sam Darnold's a better quarterback than Dak Prescott?
Yes.
Okay, then the next week they got there and they were embarrassing. That thing has happened consistently. The Vikings made the Cowboys look stupid, and then what do? They went to Arizona and damn near lost the next week.
Yep.
They were down like 3 scores or something, and it was a situation that could have got out of control for them.
So silly that one of these teams in the East is going to the postseason. Okay. So silly.
Speaking of silly, somehow Kristaps Porzingis is the talk of the league again today. Ramona Shelburne, who is a big-time NBA writer for ESPN, she wrote that the Knicks offered Porzingis to other teams in trades before the Mavs deal. They offered him early last year to New Orleans for Anthony Davis. Pelicans said no. I don't really think this is incredible new news or anything like that. Phil Jackson was quoted several times talking about throughout the years he was trying to trade Kristaps Porzingis, but in the New York NBA market, they are just absolutely obsessed with this story. So anytime there's just any little mention of Porzingis in that relationship, it kicks back up like it's one of the top stories, like all the NBA shows they're running on ESPN, The Jump and all that, and all the different podcasts, the NBA TV, they start immediately talking about it. And, you know, most people are saying that while it was true, the Knicks still did a horrible job. That's the overwhelming narrative from that perspective. The Knicks did a horrible job at just taking the Mavs offer at that time. They panicked that they were going to lose control of Porzingis or maybe get nothing for him, which they basically did. You know, would they end up getting a little bit of cap relief?
Yeah, well, they got Dennis Smith Jr.
They went. Yeah. They thought they were going to get Durant and Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, so they end up getting nothing except for maybe the idea
that a pick
coming up this offseason, some future picks that'll be in the 20s or something. Yep. But you know, the Knicks panicked, the Mavs benefited, and as a result,
the things you'll obsess over when your team's not good.
Yeah,
and I guess if you compound it with the fact that it's the Northeast and it's the Knicks. Because, like, would you care that much if there's a guy who's a former pick your DFW sports team who goes somewhere else? He's been gone for how long now? When was that trade?
I think in basketball it has the ability to go on for a long, long time.
Okay.
Because you can't remake yourself. You know, that's like, that could be a decade worth of fate for you.
Yeah.
And now with the Mavs being so good,
yeah,
you get essentially nothing for it. And for the Mavs to be so good, you know, that's the kind of deal. And I think it's miserable. I would hope, and maybe that's our equivalent, you know, the Knicks are much worse in the standings, but we're kind of glutton for punishments around the Cowboys like this as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's never getting better. It's a repeat of history, but we're just obsessed with continuing to talk about how our organization has let us down.
They're the most, they're the model franchise when it comes to finances in the NBA.
Are they?
Yeah.
Making all the money.
Yeah.
I mean, that money can be intoxicating. It can get you to do weird stuff. Speaking of money making you do weird stuff, our next story here in the G-Bag Nation. We have Fish coming up in 7 minutes, but did you guys get the story of the PGA Tour golfer arrested? The prostitution sting?
So did not.
Wait, yeah. Where?
Scandalous audio, I believe. So do we have the scandalous audio?
Yeah, I feel so bad for him, man. Oh.
This is
he should have known better though. $60?
This is old Tommy.
60?
60.
This is a cool story here. Tommy Two Gloves Gainey.
What did he think he was going to get for 60?
Well, trash is 40, so he went for 60.
Let's take a listen.
What's the options of other?
What do you mean?
Like sex.
Okay. How long?
Just a quick visit.
Quick visit?
I
can do $60.
Okay.
Okay.
Fine. Sounds good. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll let you count that to make sure it's right. I won't have to tell you for the rest of the week.
Okay.
I'll be up to 70, so.
dude, he was stoked right there. He's like, yep, we'll be in here for the rest of the week.
Yeah, he sat back.
I think he thought about
making video or just audio.
Yeah. He kind of sits back like, oh, yeah. And I think, what did he say? I'm usually in town till Sunday. So apparently he was.
I'll be in here till Sunday.
Trying to make the cut.
Yeah. The 44 year old.
I got another 60 for you.
Was one of 120. Yeah, that's what he's thinking. He just hit the jackpot, dude. Oh, 60 bucks a day. I made it.
Oh, man.
What happens? He sounds like he does drugs.
When you get caught,
looks like it too.
Do they give you your 60 bucks back because you have to, like, change?
You should. They probably keep it as evidence, though, or maybe it turns into 40 or something.
I don't know. Money back to pay for bail now.
It was in Polk County, Florida, dubbed Operation Santa's Naughty List. They got 124 people.
So they got an opioid crisis going on down there in Florida, and they worried about this.
Yeah.
This is what the sting operation is for.
Well, I guess, you know, okay.
It's entrapment, right?
That's what I feel like.
Kinda.
Yeah. I do this, I do that, I do this, I do that. Oh, really? Well, how much does it cost? This. Okay. Well, you're going to jail now. Like, come on, man.
This is not what I came here for.
You see me drinking this beer? I'm making bad decisions right now.
How did he get on tour wearing two gloves?
Well,
because I used to wear two gloves and everybody assumed that I was terrible.
It's not against the rules.
I know, but
yeah,
it doesn't mean you're holding the club wrong.
People used to make fun of him.
No. Now we know why he has two gloves.
First degree misdemeanor solicitation is the charge. Oh. The sting was a 6-day investigation using undercover detectives to target prostitution, human trafficking, and child predators.
That's a good job stopping human trafficking.
Yes.
Having a law enforcement officer pretend to be humanly trafficked and then get somebody to try to agree to pay for sex, that'll stop human trafficking right away.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, except there's no element of human trafficking.
Yeah. If she didn't sound like she was being trafficked. She didn't sound like she was in a situation where she didn't want to be in. She's like, hey, man, you got the money. Let's make the deal. I'm a grown person. I'm a grown individual making a decision with my body.
I wonder how many human traffickers they get out of these kind of deals, because it seems like a lot of money. This was a 6-day sting. A 6-day sting, they arrest 124 people on misdemeanor charges. That doesn't seem like a great use. But if you are getting some human traffickers or child predators, just give me like 2, right? 2 per 100.
Right. Give me that follow-up story, because I always miss that follow-up story about how they stopped it.
I'm not sure where it is. I think it's fun for the police to do that kind of work, though. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot more fun than like trying to fight bad guys.
You think that would be a fun job?
Yeah. Kind of like, you're kind of like pranking somebody on camera.
It's a hell of a prank.
Yeah. And you know, you can't get in real bad trouble there doing that kind of police work.
Psych, I'm a cop. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm keeping the 60, though.
Yeah, you're not getting out of those cuffs, though. It's not that kind of prank. Okay, let's come back with Mike Fisher. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time for Mike Fisher to join us, give us the very latest. He's a double insider. We have Cowboys, we have Maps. Segments brought to you by GetMortgageReady.com, by Sewell Automotive, and by Mark Rubin. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do what more fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS, the official lawyers of the Tolo, DallasTexasLegal.com. Mike, you good?
Yeah, I was going to start off a question with Fish.
There we go.
He's in the building!
All right, Fish, I'm going to start this off. I never start this off. You know Jerry well. Is Jerry kind of pleased today that the Rangers are in the news for something not positive, because it takes a little bit of the negative thing off of his organization?
Yeah, Jerry would tell you that high tide lifts all boats. And so he would say this is a low tide, and so therefore we're all dragging. We're all low and we're all dragging.
You better say something big tomorrow morning.
But Coach Balsack, I certainly understand what you're saying, that it makes the shine on the star look just a little less rusty and crusty, because the team across the street can't do anything right either. I am with you. And by the way, you might as well throw the Stars on that pile too, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Rick Carlisle is not only the best coach in DFW, because he is, but he's also like the only one.
Oh, yeah, he's the only one that's going to be around for a while.
Yeah, he went by default.
Yeah. Do you have your damn act together today, Fish?
I do have my damn act together today. I will throw a Maverick handful of nugget at you. So the Mavericks, of course, are in Mexico City. This was very predictable. They are becoming the Mexico Mavericks.
Cool.
In a really good way.
And they speak Spanish. I think it's going to be a home run for them.
Yeah. Sí, pero...
Pedro Gato?
You ran out of Spanish.
Go ahead,
walk
that back, bro. Walk that back, dog.
I saw.
Let me tell you.
Cat dog?
Let me tell you, this is so embarrassing. So I used to be really smart. I don't know if you're aware of this. So when I was in high school, at age 13 as a sophomore, that's right, Gavin, 13, I was the president of the Spanish club in high school, and it was a big high school. I was a three-year president of the Spanish club.
Ooh.
I know. And impressive. Yet, do I speak Spanish now? Oh, I see, ¿y tú?
Un poco.
Muy poco.
I don't think ¿y tú is Spanish.
Yeah, and you.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay.
My accent is incredible.
I thought that was Latin, like Caesar.
Let's not get into your high
Latin
school.
Based.
We know what you were the president of in high school, so stay out of my way, sir. So, in other words, I used to have an extremely high IQ when I was 13, and it's gone down by like 5 points every year.
But you still have a big head.
45 years. Yeah, and look where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
Porzingis, of course, speaks Spanish because at age 15, he moved from Latvia to go play in Spain. Same thing with Luka moving from Slovenia, and then J.J. Barea, obviously, from Puerto Rico. And so, yeah, they speak the language. By the way, the Mavericks, as I think most Mavs fans know, the Mavericks will sometimes speak Spanish to each other on the floor. Yeah, as a secret. So the other team, which I assume is made up of a bunch of, you know, guys from, you know, New York and Compton, apparently they don't speak Spanish there. And so we get to trick them, ick them, by using Spanish. But, yeah, the Mavericks will be a big hit tonight. Luka Doncic, I believe, according to Brad Townsend of the Morning News, is going to be the guy who's given the microphone to, like, welcome the crowd and everything, even though this is a Pistons home game. So, Pistons, just get out of the way and let the Mexico City Mavericks take over, please.
That would be exceptional. Get a big blowout, another 140-point game, something like that. That'd be quite a show.
Well, it would help, yeah. And if you want to get Mexico on your side, obviously you might want to win the game. And the Mavericks' ability to score 130 points is at an all-time high in franchise history. So that kind of thing is certainly within their wheelhouse. General, you know what my thinking is on like, you know, let's conquer the world. We've talked about this before, right? About, hey, let's have the NBA go global. Let's put a team in China. I'm not a big fan of that, but I certainly understand the appeal to go turn the entire country of Mexico into Mavericks fans and NBA fans. I get that. I concede that one.
Well, you better get used to the other one if you're not going to concede it, because it's happening in a big way with all these early games, trying to put them on in primetime in China.
I'm for that, but I'm for the exposure. I just think there needs to be some sort of a realistic cap on it. Like we talk about putting an NFL team in London. How does that really work? So there's, you know, besides money, I know it works for the money, because you'll get TV rights in Europe.
They're gonna have a bad record though, because I don't know who's signing there as a free agent.
Nobody signs there as a free agent unless you're from there. So who is the guy?
Jack Crawford.
Jack Crawford can leave the Falcons. He'll go sign there, and he'll be the best player on the team and the team captain because he speaks the language over there in Great Britain.
Yeah,
but
no, I think the NBA is doing it right. Just put it on TV over there. We don't need to go over there that often.
Just TV.
Yeah,
and go over there preseason. And go over there and plant your seed that way. But I really have thought a lot about this, Jeffrey. I know you have too, and the NFL does too. How would you do it? Would the London Briquettes, London Londoners, London Team. Lions, whatever, would they come here for a month and play a month of road games?
I would probably play all eight. Would you fly over, play eight games? No, because then you're not at home. Your home is back there. Are you going for 2 months?
Don't
for
you want to go
I
home?
I don't know.
Yeah, and what about the road team? You're gonna have eight teams got to go there.
Yep.
And then you got to figure out. You got to give them buys. You might have to give them buys before and after they go. It's just not practical. It's a money grab, and I like Gavin Dawson's idea better. Why don't we just make the Jacksonville Jaguars the unofficial team of England? Because obviously the owner has his ties there anyway. The team that would move would be the Jaguars. And just sell the heck out of the Jaguars there. Make them go there every year. Make them do tours in the off season with the cheerleaders and the dancing girls and the balloon shaping clowns and conquer Europe by sacrificing the Jaguars. That's my vote.
And trade Andre Drummond from the Pistons to the Mavs while we're at it. I'm looking forward to watching this Detroit front court tonight, shopping for future Mavs, Fish.
Okay, and the Drummond idea is a good idea, and we brought this up on this show about a month ago. When the Pistons have decided that they're done, then I'm interested in Blake Griffin. And I don't want to give up very much for him, and I don't have very much to give up for him. So it's going to look a lot like, minus first-round draft picks, going to look a lot like the Porzingis trade, which the Knicks made out of, hey, we're out of gas with him. What are we going to do? We got to do something. Goodbye. And I'm interested. Drummond, I don't know how much Drummond qualifies in that area. I think Blake Griffin does. He makes a fortune. But if you include, the Courtney Lees and even the Tim Hardaways in that kind of trade, then you can afford the fortune. Remember, you still have your $11 million exception worth of room. So I'm watching this game tonight for a lot of reasons. And, yes, the idea that the Mavericks would get ready to get geared up for a mid-February trade deadline deal, not unlike the Porzingis one, I'm all for it. Because don't we agree, this team as presently constructed isn't quite good enough, and yet it's so close to being good enough that maybe you should shoot your shot.
Sure.
And let's add a as big a piece, as risky a big, not Rondo risky, as big a piece that is costly as we can now, because this really could be the year, if you view yourself as one player away from being as good as a Lakers team that you can already play with.
Yeah.
And play them.
Yeah.
A Clippers team that I think you will establish you can play with, and a Rockets team that you've established you can play with.
Okay, how's these Cowboys looking here? Are they injured? How's their vibe? How's their energy going right now, Fish?
Yeah, today for me was kind of a mood check, and Dak Prescott's wearing some tape on both his hands, but he says really not a problem, no big deal. Sean Lee has done very little the last few days, and Friday is usually his day off maintenance. But I think the pec is bothering him, and so he's doing sideline stuff the last couple of days. Obviously, he plays on Sunday because he's Sean Lee, but how much pain is he in, and how effective is he when they're down late in Van Der Esch? We'll have to see. Van Der Esch, by the way, I think we've all come to grips with this now. This is not a next stinger, right, Dr. Dawson?
Yeah, I suppose. It'd be a hell of a stinger, wouldn't it?
That'd be a month-long next stinger. And it would be a, hey, we're thinking of putting you on IR next stinger, which would make it a 7-week next stinger. So further tests, I think, for Leighton Van Der Esch to find out what's going on there, and cross your fingers that it's not something awful. And then there's the mood check part.
It's the biggest neck story since Michael Irvin.
It is, and of course the Cowboys, as we've chronicled for 7-8 years here, in some quarters of the building try to put a slap a smiley yellow bumper sticker on it and just make everything okay. But Leighton Van Der Esch, this is a first rounder, Pro Bowler, budding star. This is one I don't think you can fake your way through. We're going to have
devastating.
It would really be a kick in the Gortats, and we will continue to monitor that. Meanwhile, there's the mood, and I thought Dak Prescott, God bless him, did a heck of a job today. He held court with the media. He was fantastic. And he talked about not only the positivism of the team, which I'm not sure I believe, and the positivism of him personally, which I absolutely do believe. He said, I've where I come from, and I've been through some tough times, and I really view myself as lucky to be here. And in my life, he says, when I've had a chance to be in control, things have gone well for me. And he goes, and this echoes something Jerry said about writing a fairy tale. Remember that a couple weeks ago?
Yep.
He says, when the pen's in my hand, I feel I can write the story. And I love that. I don't know if that's what's going to happen, but I love that approach. And I work on the assumption that he is spreading that message to the fellas. Then Jason Witten held court. And Witten said something that I've talked about with you guys before. Not everybody quite gets it, but maybe Witten will help him get it. To paraphrase him, he said, our leadership hasn't changed. We have leaders. We have leaders. We have character. Same as we've always had. He says, we're just losing. And so he says, when you lose, you look like you don't have leaders. When you lose, you look like you don't have chemistry. So it probably is a chicken or the egg thing. did they, you know, did they lose to Buffalo because of a lack of chemistry, or did the lack of chemistry start causing did cause the loss? Did they lose because leadership was bad, or is leadership now wobbly because they lost? And I thought Witten gave a great presentation on kind of the chicken or the egg of it all. And then again, just saying we've just got to. His other thing, and somebody must have told them that this must be a thing from Garrett, who, by the way, I guess showed everybody a video, showed players a video. It was a cut up of highlights. It was the feel good movie of the year, showing all the good things that this team's capable of. I think including the goal line stand against the Texans last year. And I think was that Jalen Smith blasting Deshaun Watson? Is that how it was? Does that sound right, Jeff?
So I mean, if you show a video like that, you believe your team doesn't believe. You know, you're trying to get them to be like, hey, guys, you're good. Remember this. This is you. Yeah. That doesn't match their words.
Well, and you're digging into the psychology of them, and you're good at this, and I'm right there with you. I really think that at this point you're grasping for straws.
Yeah.
It's kind of like at the end of last week when Garrett said, hey, we're going to start having the right kind of guy play. If they've been making the right kind of plays, we're going to play the right kind of guy. Who, Jason? Who? Who's the different kind of guy who's different from the right kind of guy that you've been playing who's been making the wrong kind of plays? So it's a desperation grasp, but general, why not? If you were the coach of the Cowboys right now and you've lost 7 of the last 8 and you and everybody in the locker room keeps apologizing for being in first place in the NFC East, you'd probably be grasping for straws too.
Absolutely, Fish. Got to run. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. We want your prediction too.
I will also give you a Lincoln Riley dollars and cents fact that would cause him to be an obstacle to come to the Cowboys.
Sounds good. There he is. He's at Fish Sports on Twitter. The great Mike Fisher. Okay. Wow. What a day for the Rangers news. And baseball nuggets are coming up next. Where exactly are we headed?
Well, Mike? I'll tease it by saying, should the Rangers sell?
Ooh, child. Ooh, child. Check out Bill Dickerson's group of dealerships, DallasTruckWorld.com, Mesquite Mitsubishi at MyMitsu.com, and of course, SouthwestKia.com, y'all.
Thank you, Lucius. Okay, it is time for Mike Bassick's Baseball Nuggets.
All right, so if you didn't know, Anthony Rendon signs in the AL West. You get to see him 9 times at the new ballpark.
Oh, I was hoping for
81.
He's
going to be playing for the Angels as he gets 7 years, $245 million. And after Steven Strasburg got that, we pretty much said, look, they offered the same contract to both guys, the Nationals, Strasburg and Rendon. They have the same agent. So you should have known the number is already been offered to Rendon. It was kind of to Scott Boras offered saying, look, this is the most we have. We can only do one of your clients. We came out last Friday and said we can only sign one of these guys, and we want one of these guys. We don't want to lose out on both. We have $35 million a year for 7 years to give to one of your clients.
Did they
let
Boras
pick? We have to defer $40
million
of it, maybe even more. They deferred actually $80 million of it to Strasburg. And Strasburg took it. His agent said, Scott Boras said, all right, this is great for Strasburg because now – I have just set a crazy market for my other client in Garrett Cole, and I know that I can get 7 for $245 for Anthony Rendon because I've been offered 7 for $245 for the most part. It was just I had to choose which client to stay with Washington, and Strasburg would rather stay with Washington, and now I'm going to go shop Anthony Rendon and tell everybody because didn't it come out after Strasburg signed? If you just follow all the rumors – Boras said it's going to be a 7-year deal for Anthony Rendon. There was no more talk that we had a week or two ago about a 5 or 6 year deal that somehow the Rangers were stuck on and they were not going to go to 7 years. And because they wouldn't go to 7 years, there were 4 offers made to Anthony Rendon that are coming out now. That's not, we don't have the information on every offer, but if some people this morning were saying, well, look, it was only the Angels. He can't be that great of a player if it was only the Angels and Rangers bidding on him. And I'm like, well, guys, he just won the World Series as the best player on the World Series team. He's not a bad player. And so Rangers offer 6 years, almost $200 million. Don't get anywhere close to being competitive. And Anthony Rendon is an Angel.
How good could him and Trout be? Is that enough to make them a good team?
Well, if Shohei Ohtani's healthy, that helps out. So Ohtani's a very good hitter. Not Rendon, Trout good, but he's a very good hitter. They could have a really nice lineup. They got to do more. The Angels are somewhat like the Rangers. If the Rangers would have got Anthony Rendon today, we'd be celebrating. I wouldn't tell you that the Rangers are now going to win the American League West. The Angels aren't going to win the American League West by adding Anthony Rendon. That's not enough. That's not close to enough for them to overtake the Astros and the Athletics in this division. And they're working really hard right now to try to make a trade with the Cleveland Indians for Corey Kluber or add more free agents, like go out and get Madison Bumgarner or Dallas Keuchel or Ryu. They're working right now to say, okay, this is step one in a massive spin that the Angels are going to do to try to be a competitive team in 2020. So they're going to go, we're going to spend it all in LA to see if we can create a contender, where the Rangers, I'm not sure exactly what their plan is.
It's going to be another year of evaluating the young guys and seeing who gets better and flipping guys at the deadline, and then next offseason decide again how long till we're a contender and are we allowed to spend money.
Yeah, I think you pretty much nailed it. And him going to the Angels isn't the worst thing in the world, because they haven't shown an ability over the last 15 years to spend that money and make it work.
Right.
They just make a big splash and then, you know, go back to being average.
And they do obviously have a bigger TV contract and a bigger market than the Texas Rangers. But it's disappointing how much it got built up over the last 2 to 3 months. Even, you know, it fell off really quick when they heard the Gerrit Cole numbers coming out, right? When they knew that it was getting close to $300 million, we heard the Rangers weren't interested at all in Gerrit Cole. And I guess they thought he would be more of a bargain in August and September than what he ended up being. But I love this quote in an article that I'm going to get to in a second and dive in further. But the LA Dodgers, a few years ago, their baseball operations guy, Andrew Freeman, it says, famously said this, and this applies to the Rangers and free agency, man. If you are always rational about every free agent, you will always finish third on free agents.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, you know, because there was tons of people being critical, myself included, about the Rangers last night on Twitter. And they're coming back with very logical arguments as to why it makes sense that the Rangers wouldn't want to. And, you know, I get it. What you just said right there, of course it makes sense that you don't. But this is this is what you have to do in order to contend.
Yeah, people asked me on Twitter last night, do you think he's worth $7 and $245 million?
No.
No, but you're never going to get a good player if you... Adrian Beltre was such an overspend that the commissioner called up the Rangers and said, hey, you're crushing the marketplace by doing this, by spending this much money on Beltre. He's not worth this much from what we understand from the commissioner's office. You bid against yourselves on this one, and you're going to cause a market to go up that is going to hurt all the other teams by doing this. The Rangers ended up getting a great player who played great throughout the whole contract, Adrian Beltre. But that's what free agency is. You have to overspend. You can't be rational when it comes to great players. To get the great players, you have to do 13 years and $325 million if you really want them. You can't be rational with great players.
I don't want to be unfair and say they intentionally set us up, but there's something in their process that's getting the message to the fans that we're really in on things. And the truth is, they're only in on making an initial offer. And if the agent says, that's not high enough, what about this? Then they walk away. And for I guess they feel like they don't need to clarify to the media what their true position is. And that's fine. But what it's causing them to happen is their hardcore, most passionate fans now believe they're being misled in the lead up to these free agencies.
Yeah, it's going to be really tough. When it comes to, since the premium free agents are gone, you can sign other free agents. It doesn't mean you can't sign other free agents. It's pretty much, the Rangers are pretty much out on Josh Donaldson. So if you're
and
wondering.
And they are good at finding bargains here.
That's what we are. Yeah. We're Black Friday and Cyber Monday shoppers. I was texting Jared last night because he was really disappointed that the Rangers didn't get Rendon. He really thought the Rangers were getting him. So he is really disappointed. And I said, look, I'm not that disappointed because I never thought he was going to be a Texas Ranger, because the Texas Rangers are Black Friday, Cyber Monday shoppers. They're trying to find players that are undervalued, that are cheaper players that they can maybe turn around. Mike Minor, nobody really wanted to be a starter. They said, we'll let you be a starter. Here's your contract. Lance Lynn was horrible with the Minnesota Twins and okay with the New York Yankees. Not many people were in on Lance Lynn, so they hurry up and scoop him up. The two guys that they got already in free agency, those are Black Friday, Cyber Monday deals that they got, and they're hoping that they end up being really good. So that's what the Rangers do in free agency until they don't do it. So next year, whoever it is, if Chris Bryant becomes a free agent because he wins his deal, I'm just throwing out a name that people are talking about with the Rangers, and he becomes a free agent, the Rangers aren't going to get him.
No.
They're not going to give what it takes to get.
And the frustrating thing, I think, for Rangers fans is like, okay, we're not drafting and developing well. There wasn't the big trade. You know, what? How are we going for this? What is the way that we're going to win it? You know, if there was a ton of young guys, I would say, yeah, don't spend. It's not time to spend. Let's let this thing develop and see where our biggest holes are. This makes sense.
Yeah.
But if you don't have players on the roster now or in the minors and you're not going to spend money, it's kind of like, okay, what am I supporting here? What is the interest level in going and buying a ticket package?
That is why I would strongly consider having a meeting on, is it best to sell our assets, our players that are good,
yeah,
and start at the bottom?
Then there's a clear thing. Because just, well, we're going to get a bunch of average players, and because of that, we'll probably win between 75 and 85 games. That's your strategy? That's not getting any interest. You know, maybe for the people that already have season tickets, it's cool, because you'll win more than you lose at home.
Right.
But that's the only people you're really keeping interested.
I think the tough thing is Joey Gallo has the potential to be a star player, a franchise-changing player. He has the potential, but we haven't seen it except for a short amount of time in 2019. We don't know how he would have done if he would have stayed healthy throughout the season and what the numbers would have been. Because I can
take, that is cool. Yeah.
Yeah. But from there, that's it. And everybody else is a role player. I love Willie Calhoun. I think he's going to be a really good role player in the major leagues. I don't think I can like say Willie Calhoun is the next Anthony Rendon or Mike Trout. And by the way, those guys play awesome defense at their positions too. That's the other issue we have with some of our players. Nick Solak, I love as a hitter. I don't know if he can play defense at the major league level at any position. Right now, I guess Nick Solak is your starting third baseman without really ever playing third base in his life. That's a tough thing to do in the major leagues. It's not just easy to go to that position. So if I was the Rangers, I would just kind of say, what is our 1 in 5 year plan? And maybe they have it. But if somebody like me who studies the Rangers a lot and can't really figure out what the 1 in 5 year plan is, where it's not very clear to me what they're trying to do in the next year or two, and then what the plan is 5 years from now, then I don't know if it's clear to them either what they're actually trying to accomplish in the short term and long term.
Small market team. It's tough.
All right, good stuff. There they are, your baseball nuggets with Mike Bacsik. Top stories that have been breaking. That's coming up at 5 o'clock, at 4 o'clock. Does being the biggest show in all of sports outweigh the challenge that comes with being the head coach of the Cowboys? That's what apparently one of their big hires had to say recently. That's next in the G-Bag Nation. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.